Hey guys, guess what?
What's that?
Winter. Well, it's not almost over, but eventually it will be over. Mm. It means spring will happen.
Yes.
And in the spring, we're going on tour.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Thaw in the Raw.
That's right. Raw Thaw. April 25th, I think things get going.
That's right. In Atlanta, Georgia, at the City Winery, we are going to be talking about what film?
Gamma.
Gamer. That's how Gerard Butler probably says
Gamma. Gamma.
I'm a gamer. Now, this is a movie where he is a little guy in a video game, and he's being played by a person.
No, it's by a baby. Something you're an actual criminal.
Yes,
but the video game controls your body, and if you die in the game, you
upgrade style. Like your body is moved by something in you.
I guess Running Man for idiots.
Update, folks. Dumber than I thought it was. So that's pretty awesome. I've never seen that movie. And then we're hitting the Lone Star State pretty hard in May. The 14th, is that right?
Yes, May 14th. We'll be at the Houston Improv in beautiful Houston, Texas, talking about RoboCop 2. Filmed in Houston.
Yeah.
RoboCop 2, baby crimes.
Yeah, yes. Dude. Child gangster. Oh, yeah.
Nuke, the drug Nuke, which I really wished existed as when I was a kid. I was like, one day I'm going to do that.
And that's not, what is the one in Dread?
Dread is slow-mo.
Slow-mo. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's all these fake drugs I'd love to try.
We'll be talking about science fiction drugs there. Again, that is May 14th, Houston, Texas, Houston Improv. And then after that, the next day.
Yes.
Might be a fun double feature road trip. May 15th, Austin, Texas. We are going to be at the Cap City Comedy Club talking about what film?
From Dusk Till Dawn, It's a Dark Night.
That's right.
And From Dusk Till Dawn is a We Love Movies episode, so don't throw tomatoes at us.
But also, though, RoboCop 2, maybe
like
for
it,
half
yes.
the room is a little bit of a WLM.
That's
again,
right.
There's a child gangster in the movie.
Yes,
folks.
There is.
How
and Tom Noonan.
Wrong? Mm-hmm. Head to our website, whmpodcast.com for tickets. We want to see you this spring. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin, and this is the show for the 19th of February, 2024. Happy President's Day. So all those guys need a day. Hope you're having your President's Day parties and your President's Day costume contests. You know, all the rich, fun traditions of President's Day. Anyway, here's some dudes who like dressing up like presidents. The first guy kind of looks like he could have been a president, maybe like late 19th century. Mr. Eric Siska.
Oh, hello. Yes. I would love to be president. I think I could excel at that, right?
Oh, sure. You'd be good at that, dude.
Yeah.
Not too many skeletons in the old closet, you know?
Surprisingly few. There's some, but there's a few, only a few.
They're fun skeletons, dude.
That's right.
Speaking of fun skeletons, Mr. Steven Sadak.
Sorry, just looking at all my Madam Web comics that I'm really excited that are going to go through the roof once this, the next couple of days. Oh, wait, actually, no.
Cha-ching!
No, there's no such thing as a Madam Web comic because no one's ever cared about Madam Web.
Wow. She never had her own run at all?
I'm sure there's some single issue Madam Web, whatever.
You but, got right. her ass.
I did.
Why don't you just start reading those so that you could just do the bit before Chris does his bit?
Save us some time, you think?
I mean, we should just see what he's reading, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Here's Chris Cabin.
He sure did. John Ford made westerns. Yep.
Oh no, Chris Cabin's muted.
Kevin, you're muted. You're muted.
Amazing. Chris has muted himself.
This is amazing. I can't unmute. There we go. Chris Cabin.
And then John Ford punched a horse.
He certainly did, dude.
That doesn't make any sense. He loved horses.
Glad you got unmuted there, buddy. I don't know what happened. How's it going?
It's going all right. You know, yeah. I don't know. My mute button has been, you know, it's acting up. It's turning 13 this year. You
know? Chris is so good at pushing buttons.
I am quite good at that. It does turn out. You make fun of Man of Steel a couple times. There you go.
That's easy. True.
It's pretty easy. It's actually pretty easy.
Thanks so much for tuning in, y'all. We got Liz in the chat, Fowl, Ivy Moon Kenworthy, DR, Rose, Very Gooster. Welcome all. Eddie Failson, of course. Kiro. Oh, yeah. Chat just blowing up. Mm-hmm. Jordan Holland. Hello. Carlisle Commons. Sounds like the name of a mall. I like that. Mm. This weekend, the President's Sale at Carlisle Commons. We got some birthdays here this President's Day. Check out this shit, you guys. This is dude's long dead, but it is indeed his centennial today. Mm. Lee Marvin would have been 100. Wow. One of cinema's greatest badasses.
It's time to bring him back from the dead, I think. If we're going to have a zombie Lee Marvin, mm-hmm. It seems like the first, a good first candidate.
Or Tarkentown, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Put him in
Cushing.
Star Wars.
You want to get Cushing back? You want? Okay.
Yeah, everyone. The Army of the Dead should star in movies.
I see.
Wait till Madam Web gets a load of me. I'm the new villain in Madam Web 2.
You would Lee have the Marvin. The most charisma in any Madam Web property would be a ghost of Lee Marvin.
Did you guys hear in Madam Web 2 Lee Marvin starring as the drunk?
Lee Marvin would have been a great, was it the guy, the villain who looks like J. Jonah Jameson with the white hair? Tombstone is his name?
Maybe? Tombstone is correct, yes.
Yeah, the white guy. Yeah. He would have been good.
Tombstone. That kind of guy. Yeah. Similar haircut. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Smokey Robinson turns 84. Our good friend Jeff Daniels turned 69. I can't believe the boys in the back room.
Yes.
A lot of jokesters in our graphics department. I can't even believe it.
Honestly, his best work. I think really this is, I mean, perfect picture for him. Honestly.
But on the man's birthday, the nicest of birthdays, his 69th birthday. That's what our interns are doing.
That man tours as a musician. And
Does he?
Yes. Oh, and he sits on a bench and tells stories while he's doing the song kind of thing. Uh-huh. I know this because my father paid money for this.
wait, so he like Forrest Gumps? He just like sits on a bench and talks?
It's similar to that. Like he's just doing that and like you know, back in the time I used to know. It's like old Merle Haggard records where there was a time back when you knew where the railroad was going to be.
That rocks. Let the guy have fun.
Yeah, honestly. But, you know, bring him down a little bit. Have the shitting picture from Dumb and Dumber. Oh,
exactly.
Speaking of railroads, one time me and Aaron Sorkin split a rail of cocaine.
And we thought that some people be interested in the news as a drama.
I'll tell you what, dude. You want me to go to a theater to see that, some music hall or whatever? You replace that bench with a nice toilet, I'll be right there.
Oh, yes.
Benicio del Toro is 57. Millie Bobby Brown turns 20 years old today, so there you go for the birthdays. Now we had some as expected developments at the box office this week, and also some unexpected developments. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at the numbers real quick in a segment we like to call Highest Gross. Now, I'll tell you guys this right off the bat. It ain't Easter just yet because Jesus did not rise to the occasion.
Nowhere
in the top five was The Chosen season, really? Whatever the fuck, episodes 4 through 6. Wait. No, it was at 6, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my God. What's happening, everyone? And
you know what? The fans didn't show up. You know, they got used to formula. It was too much. It's much like Marvel. We're seeing just a breakdown of the system. Yeah. Three seasons in. You can't hold it.
It's so sad. But also what's sad is this entire list. My God.
Yeah, it's brutal. So here we go. At number 5 in its 10th week at the box office, my goodness gracious, Wonka racking another 4.4 mil.
One of the highest grossing movies of all time now, probably, right?
Well, because they positioned it against all this January horse shit. You know what I mean? Like, you put it out during Christmas, but you're like, hold on. January's coming. And then now.
It's a nice looking kids movie. Like, it's not animation. It gives you some variety. Like, I see where this happened. I was just shocked at, like, everybody saw the trailer and was like, fuck this. Like, universally, fuck this.
And right. Yeah.
Nobody imagined all the parents that would just drag their kids to this shit.
No. And especially now, dude, because also this is tied in right with number 4, migration. There's no family programming at the box office that's new. So you got this little guy, you know, these fucking birds are flying around on fucking Peacock streaming, you know, and they're still here raking in $5 million in its ninth week at the box office.
Yeah, putting Jesus to shame, these little birds are.
Keeping that guy in the fucking ground, dude. Speaking of movies that should be in the ground, Argyle, still just farting along on fumes and goodwill.
I mean,
number three, week three, 5.5 mil.
We do need to nip this in the bud, because if they find some excuse to give this a sequel, we're really in trouble here.
You know what I was thinking about, Chris? Because it's an Apple property, so you have a TV arm there. Also, if you like tricked Universal into putting it on Peacock, they could do one of those, like that three-part John Wick hotel show that nobody knows about.
Maybe you could get something like that, but even like, oh my God, I don't want anybody to talk about this ever again. Like,
well, here's my question to you, Gavin, because you've seen them both, Argyle or Madam Web?
You know, I was thinking about this, and there's a difference. It depends on what you prefer in the bad emotion tray. Sure. Do you prefer being confused, or do you prefer being annoyed? Those are very different. Argyle,
wait, which is which?
Madam Web is the confusing one. The Argyle one is the annoying one. Like, it just preys on you nonstop. Whereas Madam Web, I'm like, within 20 minutes, you're like, oh, this is going nowhere. This is just fucking nonsense.
I mean,
I don't know what's going on.
I have not seen Argyle yet, but I honestly can't imagine a movie being worse than Madam Web. I think it might be one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I'll tell you this. Our shopping center friend Carlisle Commons points out, Madam Web is shorter, so winner. That's a very fair argument. As far as if you're like, how fast you're trying to get out the fucking theater, the runtime might have something to do with it. So speaking of which, here we go. We will talk about it in length later in the program. Madam Web, the next Sony Spider-Man adjacent movie. Although I will argue this one is most up Spider-Man's ass. Week one, number two slot from Sony, $17.6 million in the holiday weekend. And I'll say we had a little fun thing going on our Patreon. If you're not hip to that, patreon.com/wehatemovies. I started doing a thing just this past weekend where I was like, let's do some poll stuff for On Screen Live and have some fun. So I put up some over, some under, and right where it should be, kind of box office figures, and ask the patrons, like, you know, vote on where you think this is going to land. So I have to say 42% were correct, under $20 million.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing that creative accounting where it's like, oh, you know, for 6 days, 6 days at the box office, it made $20
million. Yeah. I mean, this, you fold in the holiday stuff like that, but you'll see I had selected for the show's option between 20 and 25 million. I was wrong. 17.6. Just a fucking disaster. And the way that they end this movie, man, with a next time, baby, one of the greatest and most embarrassing next time babies since maybe the Super Mario Brothers. You're not going to believe this.
Well, the whole movie is a next time baby. Nothing happens in it.
That's right.
You have three Spider Women that do not become Spider Women in the film.
Yes.
That you are promised will be Spider Women next time.
We're giving it away. Make a quick point, Chris Cabin.
I was going to say, much like the Jesus, we're getting the story of Ezekiel. That's mostly what Madam Web is.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. But in at number one, weaving its own web of success, Bob Marley, One Love.
Bless
which, you know, is one of those movies where they're like, it's called One Love, but nobody's going to know what that is. Let's put Bob Marley in front of it to make it easier. Which you really just have no respect for your audience. 27.1 million, and we're looking at a global gross of $80 million, and unsurprisingly, the biggest opening for a film for the nation of Jamaica, which is pretty cool. Well,
biopics are back, right? You got an Oppie, you got this guy.
I mean,
this to me feels more like in line with like Bohemian Rhapsody's rise. And like, you're seeing deterioration already. You used to be able to just, what was Bohemian Rhapsody? It was just called Bohemian Rhapsody. It wasn't Queen.
Yeah.
with Freddie Mercury. Bohemian Rhapsody. No, it's Bob Marley, One Love. So now you have to, no, please come see it. It's like, I was thinking about Broadway, like jukebox musicals.
Yeah.
How those just gets tourists in all the time.
That's like, all absolutely. These are.
Yeah.
These are just, you know, I mean, like, this isn't getting great reviews, right? I'm not. That's
the real anyway. Middle of the road.
Yeah.
What the one thing that is interesting, and so pointed this out. This is the story is part of the book, A Brief History of Seven Killings.
Great book.
This is the story that is.
Oh, really?
In the background James? Of that, the singer that they're always talking about.
Oh yes.
The,
well,
the events of in that are this. That's what he's doing at least the first half.
Got it. Is Marlon Jaynes involved?
No, not at all. But it was just weird that that's the thing they pick.
Yes. Right?
Like, what are you bookworms talking about? What
there's is a book called A Brief History of Seven Killings by a guy named Marlon Jaynes. Huge, awesome book about Jamaica and the CIA in the 1970s. And Bob Marley is heavily featured, but not the star of it.
And so, they don't refer to him at all. They just call him the singer in it.
Chris, next week, why don't you read from that for us?
I got it up here. If you want me to, I can.
Yes, please. Thank you.
I will. I'll be happy.
This is also one of those things, though, where it is a vast divide between audiences and critics. It's a pleaser. Audiences like it, clearly, box office-wise. Mm-hmm. Critically, like, it was totally slammed as just your middle-of-the-road cliched biopic shit. But in this instance, it's another great example of sometimes them critics don't matter none.
Well, nope. People just want to see a movie. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, it wouldn't matter anyway.
Right? I mean, it's... When Madame Web is across the aisle, you're like, you know what? I'll go that way.
Because, honestly, dude, at the end of the day, you can look at One Love and be like, well, they licensed all his music, so at least I get that in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, yes, the family was involved. Not like that fucking Andre 3000 Hendrix movie and so on. The Janie Jamplins of the world, if you will.
Jackie Jorp Jump.
So I don't. It for me, it's like a rental because.
Yeah.
The last time I was legitimately interested in a Bob Marley movie was when Demi was going to do that doc. And then they didn't let him do the doc and someone else did it and it wasn't as good.
It was the Last King of Scotland guy, I think, ended up doing it.
Yep, I believe that is correct, Chris Cabin. So, that's the box office. Who knows? You know, it is really just the fucking dregs of the Q1 of the year here, folks. I don't know where else to go from there except to look ahead. Because we're going to look at one trailer here for a little streaming platform cartoon that, I'm super fucking excited for. This is what we're going to be talking about in trailer segment.
Wait a second, but we just did trailer segments. Oh, wait, I'm seeing the future very momentarily ahead of me and then reliving that scene again.
Man, the specter of Madame Web just is held over this whole episode. But yes, this is X-Men 97, the new cartoon reboot that's coming to Disney Plus later this year. I forgot that this was going to be a thing.
Yes.
And then when this came out, I was like, hello. Gotta say, I'm pretty stoked. Did anybody watch this yet?
I'll mention my one major problem with it, which is
Steve Sadek.
Who did we get to voice Wolverine? I mean, he only has one line. They might be hiding him because the voice is so bad, or maybe that guy just like had a frog in his throat for that delivery.
It could be, Steve, I'll tell you this though, dude. Let's just be thankful it's not fucking Chris Pratt.
Okay, true.
Like it appears as if these are just voice actors in this. I didn't look up the full list, but there's at least not like an A-list celebrity doing Jean Grey or some shit. I think. I don't know. Just look that up.
That would be helpful.
But anyway, so here we go. This is a cartoon reboot of a show lots of us loved as kids on Fox afternoons. Riding that fucking bus home, man, just waiting to watch X-Men. Oh, yeah. So here we go. This is Marvel Animation's X-Men 97. We got the trailer pulled up here. It is in the show information below if folks want to watch along at home. Just a quick little teaser trailer, I think, here. But you guys ready to check this out?
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
We're really leaning to the nostalgia.
Oh, yeah. It's interior, a loser's living room.
Hey, remember when you had a shitty TV? It's kind of like that.
I was this loser in the living room.
I mean, this ending, I do not remember at all. It's not like I watched the show, like, it was Dallas, you know?
No, he's got some disease, Steve, and he's got to go to, like, a leap-flop planet to survive.
Probably the Shi'ar would be involved.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Yep. Mutant fashion show. The professor entrusted us with his dream. Oh, yeah. Look at all these memorials.
I appreciate that photo of him with his handsome blanket over his legs.
Yes.
Very FDR.
We must believe in each other.
Yeah. I mean, I'm liking this animation. I'll tell you right now.
It's nice. It's clean. It's.
Yeah, I like it.
It's reminiscent, but it's not. Keep buzzing in my ear. Yeah, I don't know about that buzzing in my ear line.
Well, somebody had said that's the same guy, which maybe that makes sense. He's just a little older.
Oh, that could be.
I love Bishop being part of the team. Fold him in.
Yeah. And honestly, the music of this is just.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is awesome. Look at this. Charging up the fucking claws. Oh, that's cool. To me,
my ex. I love it when two men ride each other.
I like Cyclops having that line too.
Oh, that's cool. It's very cool. It's. I wonder. Magneto, the last
will and testament of Charles. Well, Xavier. Magneto looking like a real party boy in this movie.
Uh-huh. Huh? It looks like a little bit like Sephiroth.
Oh yeah. He kind of does look like Sephiroth. Yeah.
Hey, fun boys. That's what he sort of reminded me of there. Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, not Bishop alone. I mean, I'm.
Yeah, you're a big Bishop guy, Chris Cabin.
Would people want to listen to us recap this on Patreon? I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, sound off in the chat if you want a recap series on X-Men 97. And look at that. We didn't say all this nasty stuff about it, so you don't have to cry. You know, like, oh my God.
Yeah. They'll wait for when we do the Madam Web talk to cry.
Yeah,
capital yes is going on.
Yeah.
We're not sure yet. We don't know if we have the time.
We're debating it.
We got to move some money around from the Caymans to see if that's going to be able to happen.
We're going to have Chris sell some books on a e-retail type of service.
That's definitely going to get us quite a lot of money.
Yeah,
the whole $20 that we will have.
Plus, we got to. It's either that or we could save the community center. And I was thinking about saving the community center.
That would be bad.
No one goes there anyway.
Let's just burn it down. I don't know. March 20th. We'll have to see.
Yeah,
gonna be a lot of fun. Speaking of a lot of fun, you guys, this spring we're going on tour. I don't know if folks at home are aware of that, but we got some spring tour dates here. First up. The 25th of April, Eric Sisko, where are we going to be and what are we going to be talking about?
We will be in Atlanta, Georgia. Beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. First time, long time. Not first time. Second time, long time.
Second time, long time. 7 years, man.
So long ago. Might as well be a first time visit. City Winery. We'll be talking about Gamer.
Oh, the Gamer.
Fuck! My favorite Saturday morning cartoon strip was Cafe, because she said, ah!
Some wee teenager's controlling me.
Is the Wiener Kid anybody? Is he played by anybody?
I think so.
I forget. It might be.
Dexter's like the bad guy in it. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm going to Google. The 13 Reasons Why Kid. Maybe.
I'm Googling, is the Wiener Kid anybody?
And we'll see what happens. IMDb, which is actually smarter. It's a smarter approach.
Is it a smarter approach?
Someone throws
Logan
a name
Lerman
out here.
Is Logan involved. Lerman.
Yes, that's him. There you go.
Who's that?
He's been in a bunch of shit. I think he's Percy Jackson.
He is the person being a wallflower. Indignation. He's in Hunters. Yes. If you're watching that, he's in Fury. He is Percy Jackson at some point.
The original Percy.
That's cool. Well, we'll get to the bottom of it at City Winery in Atlanta. But we will be making our Houston debut in May. Chris Cabin talking about what movie?
We're going to be talking about RoboCop 2 and children gangsters at the Houston Improv.
We're going to be tooting Nuke.
Yes,
we will. About it.
All over the place.
Right into the neck.
And I will, when I get to Houston, I will, of course, be speaking only as General Zod, Planet Houston. What is going on here in Planet Houston?
Sure.
Ripping badges off of cops and so on.
Oh, like, absolutely.
You got to show them who's the real leader of this free world. General Zod Sadek. But next, the very next night, Steve, we're going to Austin. We're going to take a trip to Austin talking about what movie?
It's a dark night. It's I'm so excited to talk about one of my favorite movies of the 90s is From Dusk Till Dawn. Love this movie.
Hell yeah.
It's a WLM for all four of us. We're going to have so much fun talking about it. You'll have fun being in the audience. Mm. I feel like a lot of drinking will happen. You know what I mean?
Like, we are storming the Capitol. So come on down.
hey, man, it's Austin, and I don't think I've had a sober night in that town, man. I don't know. It's a great town to go out, see some live music, and see us riff on a really great movie that is a WLM official designation, folks.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. And hey, also, while we're here talking about plugs for things, nothing to go on the road for, but over on our Patreon, next month, gang, the month of March, we are releasing the next commentary, which is indeed our Rebel Moonmentary, part one, colon, A Child of Fire.
Oh my God.
You know, I've now seen this twice.
Yes.
Both times, just like a leaky pool, man, right out the fucking ear.
Not great, I don't know, but miles better than Madam Web.
Yes.
I'll tell you, all four of us stayed awake during Madam Web.
Oh, you did. Good for you.
I guess that's a point. Yeah.
So, yeah, look for that. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. That'll be available at the $8 level and up now. Okay. Here we go. Let's dive right in. And let's be respectful, because I know people are still trying to get out to the theater and whatnot. So no terrible spoilers here, although maybe...
Wait. Andrew, I just got a premonition of the future, and they are not going to the theater for this.
Yeah. There's nothing to spoil. I mean, like...
Their ambulance is getting T-boned by a truck instead.
Do you guys remember any of it? Like, it just immediately moves into the dustbin for me.
It
just
really does.
Almost immediately.
There's nothing to grab onto. And Dakota Johnson, my God, there's been never someone who's more of a not a movie star to me, especially in this performance. It's just so flat. Like, she's not human. Like, she doesn't know English. Like, she doesn't know human emotions. And maybe she doesn't. I don't know. But God damn.
I think that's a miscasting issue with her.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's I like Dakota Johnson in most things that she's in. But she was great in The Lost Daughter. This is just wrong. Like, her in a superhero movie, it makes no sense on paper. It doesn't make
sense. But just take a swing. You need some swagger. You need some charisma for some, like, the script is so bad. You need, like, someone trying would have been something to look at it.
Classically speaking, when you see shit on the page, you're like, well, I'm going to try.
Don't do the movie.
Well, here, I'll tell you right now. Like, Eric's right, Chris, because just to make sure for myself, my own personal opinions, that of all of these Spider-Man sidecar movies that we've had, I wanted to make sure that I liked this one the least. So the one that I was deficient on, that second Venom movie, Let There Be Carnage, I went and watched it last night. And yes, while not good, pretty much everyone in that movie is up for it. And there's no way you read that script and go, oh, hell yeah, it's great. You know exactly what you're like, what level you're playing on, and you adapt accordingly. Like, Michelle Williams in that movie, she's a fucking pro, man. She knows exactly the fact that she's in a Venom sequel, okay? And she rises to the occasion because she's a fucking professional.
Even someone like Woody Harrelson, which is a dumb role in the movie, but like, I can watch him. I can gleam onto him, you know?
Doing stuff. Well,
when I think it's just overstuffed with characters, and it doesn't give anyone really room to breathe. I mean, that there's that scene when the three spider women are trapped in, not trapped, or are left on the side of the road by Dakota Johnson, because she's got to do some stuff.
In the
woods. And just looking at it, and just looking at them talk to each other, dead-eyed at one another. And again, I think that all three of them are fine actresses. I think Sydney Sweeney is great in the Reality Winner movie. And
still got to see it. I will really say, just to interrupt you for 2 seconds, Steve, so I can just, not a public apology, but just like, I've been saying stuff. I watched Sydney Sweeney and she feels like sentient cardboard. And for most of that, it is still true. I haven't seen Winner. I will say, I think she's trying in this movie a little bit.
Is she?
She's given nothing, you know.
But on the side of the road, it's like a Russ Meyer movie. Like, I just don't, like, there's there's like, it's just the three of them just being like, should we get food? I don't know. Do you want to get food? We shouldn't get food. And I'm like, what the fuck's happening anymore?
I mean, like, good call on the Russ Meyer shit, Steve, because you're like, oh, is this going to be like a side order of sleaze for a second? And honestly, if it fucking took that turn and devolved into that, good on you, because that's a movie of some kind.
It would have been something. Yes. Cause this is, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And then those action scenes, they're nothing as well. And they're short, and it's just, we're just walking around.
This is, I mean, but you're highlighting exactly why I don't give a fuck that she doesn't give a fuck about this. Like,
yeah.
If I'm going through all this, I'm like, yeah, I would also be like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, I don't.
I'm kind of curious about what's going to happen to Dakota Johnson, because she is going nuclear on this movie in a way that people do not do it. It's kind of interesting. I mean, it is. It's sort of weird. Like, I feel of two minds of it. Yes, on one part, I'm a good honor because this movie is absolutely terrible. Two, it's like, I don't know. Like, isn't that kind of your job, though, is to sell this horse shit?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Buy the ticket, take the ride. You've got to sell this horse shit.
I would argue that the best movie in this movie is her press tour. Her on the press tour has been the best advertisement for this movie thus far, because she's going crazy.
Give me a documentary about that, and I'd probably like it. Yes. And you know, and maybe I'm a little harsh. I did like the Suspiria remake and all that.
Yes, yeah, I haven't seen that.
I just
he's in a bigger splash, which is also good.
There's nothing happening on the screen. And well, I don't know how do we get there? How did that happen?
I think part of it is structurally, the script was like through the fucking mangler, and like what came out onto the screen doesn't work as a movie. I mean, like, when you are however many minutes it is into this movie, like 80, possibly even 90 minutes into this 114 minute movie, where she's like, and this isn't a spoiler or anything, gang, but it's like, I have to go to South America now. I'll be back to the movie in a week. Like, no. You take the girls with you. Yes. That's the adventure. It climaxes there. That's how you write a story. Oh,
what, you want them to film in the same place? Are you crazy?
I mean, it's just insane, though, that we have three Spider-Women plus Madame Web. It just get one, A, cut Madame Web out of it. Make a Spider-Woman movie. Spider-Woman's a much more recognizable character anyway. Yes. People actually give a shit about Spider-Woman. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, what's hilarious about this, because there's so much, there's two things going on here. One, I think Marvel came in, whatever their deal is, Sony's deal with Marvel, and what they can and can't talk about in any movie. I feel like Marvel put the redacted black marker on this screenplay, where like certain things would make sense if they were able to talk about Peter Parker and Spider-Man, but they weren't able to, is my guess.
Right.
And the second thing is, we're saving it still. It's like, oh, we're not going to have, you know, we're not going to have them be Spider-Woman in this one. It'll happen in the next one. And not only that, they have the three lesser of the Spider-Women. Jessica Drew is the most popular Spider-Woman. They don't even have her in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem. It's like, we're all saving it. For what?
Because what made this thing popular at first, was to kind of push off those things. I mean, Iron Man was Iron Man, thank God. But when this thing really kicked off, it was the little things at the end, right? It was like, oh my God, we're going to see Leapfrog next. And he's going to be the villain next time. It's going to be great.
Love that Leapfrog.
And they're just taking that to its like most, like I would say illogical, but in their view, logical conclusion. Like, just keep on pushing it off. Don't give them anything.
It's so sad that these movies, right, which are on the outskirts of like official MCU movies, are now falling victim to that, because like, think about the Marvel properties outside of that MCU. And Steve and I were just rewatching a lot of those prequel X-Men movies from that run of four movies, like Days of Future Past and Apocalypse, where I think what we both watched. Steve, I tried to watch Dark Phoenix and fell asleep like 30 minutes in. I tried to do all three in one night. It didn't work. But like, those movies have, you know, definitive ends. Apocalypse has like a tiny little stinger that I don't even like know what it is. Essex Corporation. Is that Mr. Sinister?
Sinister. That never happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, that shit's going on. And, you know, then like, whatever, like Blade, and even like, The first Venom movie, I don't think they do have the, I guess, Carnage setup, but like that, it's separate from the movie. Like, I'm talking about this, where it's like the see you next time stuff is integral to the plot of the movie, is so disastrous. Like, first of all, like, concentrate on having a complete story told.
Yes.
Mm. After that, whatever you want to put in 30 seconds after the credits start, knock yourself out.
Like those X-Men prequels or whatever, you could say what you want about them, Apocalypse, whatever. But something happens. Something you can look at. This, they're walking around the woods. She steals a taxi. Very like passively stealing a taxi. I don't
know. You're totally, there's no action. Yeah. It's not an action movie. Which is actually would be almost interesting if it wasn't an action movie and they flipped it and made it something else. Made it a romantic comedy. Yes. Made it a drama. Made it a gotta, psychological thriller.
You got to lean in some direction.
Yes.
You can't just have nothing.
It just feels like an action movie where the action scenes were cut.
Sony, do a tax write-off. Some of these, you know, just delete them.
Honestly, yeah, Batwoman or Batgirl got thrown in the garbage, but this was released. Another thing, specifically because, you know, Days of Future Past, I think, is an immaculately put together X-Men movie. It's fun as fuck. Yeah. It feels like those big annual event comic book runs that they would do. Everybody knows exactly where they need to be. But most importantly, you've got Peter the God Dinklage playing Trask in that movie. And it's a fucking villain with a clear, memorable performance and a clear idea of what his scheme is and his motivations behind said scheme and so on. But then you've got fucking Tahar Rahim playing this Ezekiel Sims character. And like this dude is a great actor. This is a guy from the past, a prophet, all of these non-English movies.
Justin Napoleon.
Oh, was he a Napoleon? I didn't catch that yet.
Right in the beginning. He's his buddy right before he takes over.
But like this guy is a real actor and like he's dubbed in this movie and the dub is terrible. And you're sitting there like, is this intentionally bad? Is this supposed to feel like a weird late 70s grindhouse dub? Like what is happening with this guy?
Eric, do you remember the movie Exterminator City that we watched that time with Jen?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Which is a movie about killer robots in the future that is kind of intercut with pornography. Not a real movie.
Real sleazy stuff.
But the one robot, which is always stuck in my head, has this like, it's a British guy doing a Southern accent as a robot. He's just like, I remember he's like, oh yeah, this guy's an evil son of a bitch. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And he sounds exactly like the dub who does this guy. I was just stunned watching.
We never covered that on Side Order of Sleaze. We might want to revive it to cover that movie.
If anyone could find it, send an email to the show because I can't find it anywhere. Unfortunately,
it was such a weird movie.
It's dog shit. I will say my favorite part is I was thinking about this. The end of the movie happens. Blah blah blah. Mm. Poor Adam Scott is Ben Parker. Yeah. Who is Uncle Ben? You know what I mean. Yay. And like, there's certain Emma Roberts is in it as the mother, as Mary Parker.
Mary Parker, yes.
And like, there's clearly other screenplays where those characters actually mattered, and in this one they don't.
Yep.
At the end of the movie, Peter Parker is born. We don't say Peter ever. There's a hilarious thing when you bring Clairvoyant to his baby shower, and like, can anyone guess what the name's going to be? And again, you would think super clairvoyant lady would be like, oh, it's Peter Parker, but we can't say it.
Yep.
So at the end of the movie, she's like, you know, Madame Web has all of her powers, and she's like, spoiler alert, by the way. And she's like, I think Sydney Sweeney's like, oh, Ben called. He's loving being an uncle. There's no responsibility and all the fun. And she's like, well, that's what he thinks. She says playfully.
Yep.
What she's talking about is she's seeing the future wherein his mother is murdered as along with the father. And she's like, ooh, now he has to raise that person. Oh, you know what? He's also going to get shot in the chest outside of an amateur wrestling contest. Tee hee.
See, it is, dude, it's like side smirk he gives because she's like blind at this point. Yes. So they have like the pictures around. And I was like, that's your friend.
Yeah.
And that's your reaction? Like, you fucking foretold that dude's brutal death. And you're like, wait till you see what he's in for.
I mean, I am very happy that I didn't get like, I don't know, Jenna Ortega as a young Aunt May.
Yeah.
Something like that would have really thrown me off. Cause like Marissa Tomei's young enough. Like it just looks weird. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's the dumbass thing of this. And I feel this is a friggin' Disney Marvel Studios note. Like you want to do this whole thing? Fine. Mm-hmm. It's set in 2003. Cause that's believable for when Tom Holland could have been born.
And they do nothing with it. They drive by a Blockbuster and there's like zero other cultural signifiers in it. We were talking on the text chain. Steve, you mentioned the guy on the train, like, oh, New York is crazy or whatever. I mean, 9/11 just happened.
Yeah.
We're in war with Iraq and no one mentioned
nothing.
Nothing happened.
You have EMTs.
They're firefighters. Like
there's that fucking cookout at Mike Epps' house or whatever, or whoever's fucking house it is, and it's all these New York City EMTs and firefighters cooking burgers and drinking beers. And I'm like, It's 2003. Yeah. Someone is talking about the towers. If you're going to do that, like, that shit is just so wrong. And yes. Like, you know, I guess like you could see them making the argument like we didn't want to bring down whatever, but like no one's being brought up by anything with this miserable movie anyway. So make it period appropriate. We were all talking about the towers still. Don't worry about it.
Well, I mean, I think it's we're seeing the end result of like production turning more into like we've always talked about this all becoming more like TV. Like what happens with TV, you roll with it. So every new you do have script changes that happen in the middle of production and you just roll with it. But like because it's a movie and it's structured this way and it's supposed to be one big unifying thing, it doesn't work. You just keep on jagging things together, cutting and pasting in the wrong place. And like everything just no character gets through. It just becomes this thing of setup and that's it.
Especially when you're talking about a character that doesn't have a background, that doesn't have a fan base. You know what I mean? Like literally, you know, that just sat in a boardroom and like, I don't know, Black Cat. No, Madam Web. Ooh, what's her deal? Like that's all that happened here. Yeah. It's like, what do we have the rights to? How do we make the movies? How do we hold? Because I think it's got to be something about holding on to the rights too. It's like, you have to make a certain amount of movies to be able to hold on to these rights. So like, let's just rush Madam Web, whatever the fuck that is.
And let's take
theaters.
All those characters and all these future Spider Women or whatever that we don't really even see in the film. Mm. And they all have to get to Poughkeepsie for some reason. Don't, let's not address it. Let's not say what. I mean, I think they do say for Cassandra Webb has to go up there. But everyone else is just on the Metro North train to Poughkeepsie.
No, it's just not something you find yourself on.
Those three girls are fucking afterthoughts. And it's a real shame because it's like three entire characters that are like in this movie
just
and
make
nothing.
It one make condense it to one and then like it's like, oh man, Cassie has to protect this one girl who actually has like lines and stuff and emotions that she can actually express to Cassie, and now we have a dialogue.
What's funny is this sounds like exactly what they were trying to turn Blade into, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah,
Blade's
yeah.
thing was they were trying to introduce three young like vampire killers that would be like Blade's backup team and that we would eventually turn it into their movie ultimately. And that's like,
where are they getting this data that they want, that people want this? That's what the Marvels
was. No, that's the thing, dude.
And
no,
it watered it down to be nothing.
Well, the Marvels, at least it's characters, right?
Sure.
Like with Blade, who the fuck knows what that would have been. But like, I feel that is just a really cynical, like, well, the more characters you have, the more fucking t-shirts you can sell and more toys, you know, so like cram in as many people as possible. Meanwhile, like, these three women in this movie are like, oh, cool, I'm going to be Spider-Woman. That's cool. Oh, wait, what's happening with the rewrites? Oh, I'm not any of that?
Yeah.
Oh, and now I'm stuck making this movie. Because the original idea, if Dakota Johnson is to be believed, the idea that she signed on for was like, she has to team up with the three already, you know, bepowered Spider-Women, and they have to stop Ezekiel from killing Peter Parker's mother and preventing the birth of Peter Parker. Like that was the idea. And I feel like then, Steve, what you're talking about, like, oh, you want to use double P in this movie? Yeah. I don't think so. Get that the fuck out of here. No. You know, now she has to protect the people that she was originally going to team up with to help protect someone else. And it's just all bad.
Yes. It feels like it's written and directed by AI, acted by AI. I mean, it's
nobody cares.
It's not a movie, basically. This I don't even know.
It's marketing think. It's a marketing think as sludge. Like, not even like they're thinking of bringing Spider Woman and them all in. Like, they're showing them in their suits because it's only what I mean, we barely talked about, but it like the fight really, there is a fight, but there isn't a fight. I'll say it that way.
Sure.
And you just know that they're like, come see this movie. Here's a steal of Sydney Sweeney in the Spider Woman suit. Yep,
of course. That's what they sold it at.
Come see this movie. You
and jack off.
Yeah. And that's the amount of footage of her in that costume you see is in that promo.
Yeah. That's it. Yep. That's it.
It's ridiculous. You got something else there, Steve?
No. I'm just getting ready for Craven.
It's got to be better.
I'm excited for all these movies because they're such good ideas. Because Spider-Man villains on their own without Spider-Man and only able to talk about certain things. Oh, it's a really good idea, and we should keep doing it.
Right. It's like, you know, this month in the Gleep Glossary, we just released an episode on Cabe and Mooftac, and it's like, what if we did a Star Wars spinoff movie about Cabe and Mooftac that no one asked for? But then they can't legally mention the Galactic Civil War or anything that happened in Star Wars.
Yep. Yes. That's what we're talking about.
It's what Sony, are we doing here?
Sony has the rights to them specifically. Yes. I don't know how they wrestled them.
Of the whole galaxy of characters, somehow two got booted from Disney and 20th Century Fox, and it was Cabe and Mooftac.
That's when people say, like, there's Star Wars fatigue right now, which they're right, but, like, not to the unprecedented levels of superhero movies.
No. Yeah. It can't be. And, like, one last thing, just what Steve was saying with Craven. I will say one little thing that makes me, like, S.J. Clarkson directed this, and she's mostly I think she's known from Defenders.
She did Defenders. Yeah. She did a couple Jessica Jones episodes. Yeah. So, like, she's definitely like
Succession too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she can do this.
She can do this, and this is TV. So this seems like more of her world. Do you? J.C. Shandor directed fucking Kraven, and like that was a guy who was like good. Like everybody was like excited about him. Fucking. Not even 5 years ago.
Carousel, Chris. You do something successful, then you can sit on the carousel. And then like they're like, get off from Madam Web. And you're like, I guess, should I go now? Do I want to wait? I'll get off now.
What was that Chandor's thing? He did that Richard Gere movie.
He did A Most Violent Year with Oscar Isaac and...
I thought that was a little sleepy, but fine.
His big one was the one before that, and I'm blanking on it right now. But he had done one that got cut down. I heard the original cut was much better. Triple Frontier.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did direct that.
And then maybe it was Margin Call.
Margin Call, I believe, is what I'm thinking of.
Yes, that was a good. Like all those, I was like, this is like good human storytelling done stylishly in a way that like. It feels like the 90s, like those kind of, but like, of course, one does bad, and immediately you are making this shit, and you are not having any of your personality put into the thing.
Right this way to the carousel, sir. Can I interest you in a Spider-Man villain?
He did All Is Lost, was the Robert Redford on a boat movie.
Oh, yeah, I like that one quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a totally interesting movie. So, yeah, I don't know. We will see. Kraven, I believe, is in August. We'll see what's going on there.
See Madam Web again at some point on this show, one way or another. We'll see.
One way or another. Yeah, we'll see. But if you're looking for a nice antidote to this bad all-women superhero team-up movie, then I got something for you here on Home Media Mania. The new set coming out at Criterion tomorrow, The Heroic Trio and Executioners, the Johnny Toe superhero movies.
Great
from
movies.
93.
Yep.
These are fucking great. Maggie Cheung, Anita Mui, the tragically late Anita Mui, I have to say, and Michelle Yeoh. These movies fucking totally bonkers. Very different movies, even though they are direct sequels. Heroic Trio is like slightly more like comic book kind of fantasy film with a lot of Wuja-esque kind of sequences in it. We're talking baby kidnapping, dead babies, cannibal toddlers, wild mystical villains.
Stuff in your movie. Stuff. Wow.
Yeah. Wild stunts. And then Executioners, the second movie, really grim as fuck, post-apocalyptic, pseudo-Mad Max, we're all looking for water kind of stuff. It's still great, still super violent, multiple people exploding into bits and pieces.
Love that.
Yes. Which is fantastic. The thing that stinks about the second movie is they give Anita Mui's kid, character a kid, and she is saddled with this child through the whole movie, and it is like Willie Scott-esque levels of like screeching in your ears, just like, mommy! Like constantly. It is child endangerment stuff, so it's at least kind of funny, but it's really annoying. But this set, for fans of this kind of stuff, definitely pick this up, because who the fuck knows where these movies are going to go. Streaming stuff, you know, especially with Hong Kong cinema, who knows, like maybe Bowels of Tubi, maybe Criterion Channel will keep it on for a little bit. Pick this up. You got an essay by Sam Dagon, who is one of the hosts of the Twitch of the Death Nerve podcast, and I'm saying Criterion, you want some podcasters to fucking do a commentary on your disc here. You know where to go. Also, really great essay by the critic Beatrice Loayza. Really interesting read. This is Alice X. Zhang did the cover art for it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful set. And you can pick it up starting tomorrow. It's in 4K and it's in regular Blu-ray. Massive hardcore recommend for that.
Man, Criterion has just been doing the Lord's work with Johnny. Like, I think they did actually take that article in the New York Times somewhat seriously. And we're like, look, we got to do something here. We got to move, get into some more interesting places for cinema, not just do the art house like everybody knows. Like,
yeah,
Johnny Toad, they also put out Throwdown, which is an incredible movie that he made. So I really, my hat's off to them with this stuff.
Yeah, no, it's super great. Okay. Hey, gang. The moment we've all been waiting for, the Listener Request Month drawing. Here it comes.
Oh, wait, wait. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. We're going to be doing the drawing.
Okay.
Your power is getting less powerful as the show goes on.
Just like the movie.
Somehow, a hat with a bunch of paper gun in my hands. How is that? Eric, how did you... What? Madam Eric.
I just have
Madam Eric. Now we're talking.
Ever since I fell off that goddamn bridge, and then my mom had a spider shot in her belly.
Yeah, when she was researching spiders in South America in the 1970s,
right before she died. Are we doing WHM first?
The WHM eps are first, and they are. We counted right. Right. There's only four Tuesdays in March.
Oh boy, better check that.
I'm pretty sure I double checked it.
Double checking it.
Yeah, sure.
Or else someone's just drawing twice. Three. That's
There it is. It's four Tuesdays in March.
All right, excellent. So Steve Sadek, why don't you kick us off now? For folks at home, if you're unfamiliar, every March for the past who knows how long we've been doing this show, we turn the programming over to you all, the listeners and viewers at home. And you get to tell us what to watch for We Hate Movies, Prime, We Love Movies, Animation Damnation, The Nexus, and the Gleep Glossary. So we have, first of all, to thank the hundreds, if not at least a couple thou people writing in, calling in. You know, it's a lot for Chris and Steve to go through, but it's also a lot for you guys to drum up something, work up the moxie to call in, make a good phone call out of it. So big thanks to everyone for participating, because if you didn't, it'd just be another month. We'd just be doing another shit. So now, Steve Sadek, why don't you kick us off with the first We Hate Movies episode? And also, we should say, with these four that we're going to pick, it's not necessarily going to be in the order of selection. We got to see what the titles are and how they line up and everything. So these four will be the four Tuesday releases in March. Order may vary.
So my Knicks hat. But yeah, I do want to thank, just because I did listen to the calls, everybody always adds a nice little thing like, oh, I've been listening to you guys for X amount of years and you got me through this, you got me through that. It's very sweet. I appreciate everybody that calls in.
Big time.
Here it comes.
Come on, buddy.
The first one. Oh, boy.
Here it is. Whatever it is, it's going to be.
Uh-oh.
It is.
Uh-oh.
Oh, what?
It is. You got two?
No, I got one. It is a Night Game, a Roy Scheider slasher movie.
My
understanding of it.
Baseball.
Anybody
a killer who times his murders to night games of the local baseball.
Oh, I love this. Yeah. 1989. Let's see. IMDb says a Texas police detective ties pitcher strikes to a serial throat slasher.
This is exciting. Lane Smith is in this movie.
I'm the throat slasher.
The poster looks really cool.
Paul Gleason.
Yeah. It's got a good cast.
So I've never seen this movie. None of any of us have.
I have not either.
I'm quite excited. Just give Night Game a spin. So thank you.
Oh, how about this? So this guy, the movie was directed by a fella named Peter Masterson. He kicked off 2018. Rest in peace. But this guy also did a bit of acting. He's the clinic director in The Exorcist, when she's sitting at that big square table and he's like, you thought about exorcism?
Oh, right.
That's that dude. He was also in Stepford Wives and The Heat of the Night, bunch of stuff.
Nice.
But he directed this movie. That's pretty cool. All right. I'm excited for Night Game. Is that what it's called?
Yes, it is called Night Game.
Night Game.
From 1989.
There we go. All right. Chris Cabin, why don't you go up next?
Sure. I got my American Cinematheque hat here. All right. Here we go. OK. Okay.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Okay, wait. All right. Here we go.
My heart is in my throat.
Right. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
All right. What we got here? We have... Oh boy. Indecent Proposal.
Oh yeah.
I like that.
A big one. Robert Redford cooks Woody Harrelson finally.
Speaking of Woody.
Finally.
I think that'll be a fun little episode.
That one will be holy.
The wife is Demi Moore, is that
it
right?
It is Demi Moore, yeah.
I've never seen it, guys, I'll tell you.
Oh man.
Because it's again one of those movies that just like permeated.
Oh, I saw it with my parents when I was a child.
No.
Yes. And I was like, "Mom, you'd do it, right?" Yeah. You would have to.
You would roll on the bed. Come on, say you would roll around in the money, Mom. Tell me.
That's what got Demi Moore outed by the Swans and Truman Capote.
You did sex with Robert Redford for $1 million. Is that what you did at sex with him? Ooh, I'd like to think that you valued yourself at a little more than $1 million.
Yeah, I'll be doing that for an hour.
Hell yeah.
Babe, did you see Indecent Proposal? What a shame. I wonder, so is $1 million for sex, or did he get to get blowjob as well? Don't count out hand stuff, you see.
I love this classic new character, Truman Capote.
Yeah.
So is it? Am I up next?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
I've got my Hello Deli hats.
Okay. Ooh, we had a bunch of fun lunches there over the years, of course.
I did. The turkey cubana was excellent.
I wonder what Rupert G's up to these days, dude. Didn't it close?
I think it's closed or they're closing. I don't know what the deal is.
Letterman should pay him to live on his property and just make him sandwiches.
Oh, wait, we got something
from the aughts, fellas.
Oh boy.
Rollerball 2002.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Okay. Chris Klein classic, yes. I believe.
Pair it with the original and spot the differences.
Quite a lot. Quite a lot of differences there.
I have not seen, this was a Booth movie for me. I was projecting at the time, so I've seen bits of it, including, because I remember making up this print, putting it together, you know, splicing the reels and whatnot. And there's a full reel, which means like 20 minutes, give or take, of night vision footage.
Oh,
there's
nice.
A whole night vision sequence in this movie. Because I remember looking through the print.
Sicario? What happened?
Dude, and I was like, what's with all this green? What the fuck is it? And I stopped it and put the magnifying glass to it. And I was like, this is a lot of night footage in this movie.
And it's actually good to do this McTiernan. In March because that'll remind everyone to do their taxes because it's directed by John McTiernan.
Yes.
That's so right. You want to make sure you file those things. You always want to stay on the right side of the IRS, folks.
That's something they're never going to get me on, of course, is taxes.
Well, of course, honestly, though, maybe we should go, considering all the controversies and blowups we've had with actors and directors, maybe we move back to the tax problems. Maybe that's,
that's
better now. You know what? Honestly, it's, you know, taking it on yourself then at least. Who knows? You know,
because you're right, Chris. We used to have large personalities that would just ignore the law. And that's because they were artists.
For financial stuff, that's fine. It's this new breed that I'm not liking at all, I got to say. Not my thing.
All right. So I think now it's down to me. Mm-hmm. The last one,
yes, sir.
My little beanie here, my gray beanie.
Okay.
Shake it up.
All right. We're hoping for problem child here, folks.
We're
gunning for some problem child here.
Been a while since we've had some Gilbert on the show. Oh, you know what I mean?
And that's, it's all a right. thick slab of it.
All right. Let's see. Let's make sure I pull out one here. Got one.
Oh boy.
Hey, Eric.
Uh-oh.
Eric.
Uh-oh.
Happy early birthday, Zapruder my friend.
Film?
Young Einstein, dude.
Oh, wow. That's a nice, diverse crew we've got going here for the month.
Young Einstein, it's a recommend, folks, okay? All right? Yes, there is a cat being put into a pie. You didn't see wrong.
It's a story about a man who puts the bubbles into beer, you see.
Oh, man. Yes. I love Albert Einstein in both Oppenheimer and Young Einstein.
Does he comically drop his hat?
welcome to the show, Yahoo Serious, right?
Oh, did we destroy the whale or what? What did we do? Was that us doing destroy the whale?
Crikey, you're going to ignite the atmosphere.
Are you saying if we put bubbles into beer, we might destroy start a chain reaction that carbonates the atmosphere?
No, yeah. This is my friend here. He likes trees. He thinks trees are life structures. He likes them. What do you want, Oppie? We'll talk about trees here.
Crikey, me hat fell off.
Yes, dude. This is quite a lineup. I can't believe how different each one is.
Yes, yeah. Thankfully. Sometimes you get that like, oh, it's like three sleazy crime things and then a comedy or whatever. This is a nice, we're skipping decades. We're doing all sorts of
jumping genres. Uh-huh.
That's right. So those are the WHMs. Now we got the Patreon stuff to get through here, of course. So we'll go.
Animation Damnation.
Yes, do it up, dude.
My second Knicks hat, FYI. Don't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it too much. Here we go. We're doing this. And finally, I'm just going to grab this one and see what it is. What do we got? There was a lot. I was surprised how many people called in or wrote in for Bravestar.
Bravestar.
Nice. Bravestar. Thistledown 1-2-3, whatever that is. I don't know. Don't know what that means.
Oh, it's a very long title. I did that. It's the taking of Thistledown. It's a
poem. Oh, 1-2-3. I see.
Well, I'm Bravestar excited. He's like a Native American sci-fi superhero.
Mm-hmm. And there's like a weird,
I think it's
horseman that hangs around.
His horse talks to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I could get into it. Yeah.
That's going to be ridiculous.
Did we
do it on the show before, or do we not?
We
did, yeah. I believe there's a Bravestar Animation Damnation where Justin J. Case may have popped
on. Oh, maybe that.
For some reason. We definitely have done Bravestar. I think just the once, though.
Always fun to go back.
Yeah, oh, totally. So let's see. We want to do Gleep Glossary then?
Let's do the Gleep Glossary. Look at this. Transparency. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
See, we're not fooling. We're doing it. Savage Opress.
Oh, finally.
Which is Darth Maul's
buddy, brother.
Eviler brother or whatever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Savage Opress, the most on the nose name you could ever, because he's kind of oppressive.
Oh, I thought he was Irish.
Oh, yeah. Irish.
Top of the morning to you. It's Savage Opress. Just St. Patty's Day.
So this dude appears where? Comic books only? Cartoons?
The chat could help us out.
They sure could.
Fair enough. Well, someone says he has a brother. God damn it, Star Wars. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Looks like Clone Wars TV show, perhaps.
Okay. Well, that's where you want him to be. All right. Well, we'll look into it more to prepare for this Gleep Glossary. Chris, we'll save the We Love Movies for last. I'll do the Nexus here in my big old floppy hat here. All right. So we'll do two. Mix it up here.
Yeah, I love it. Love to know what's going to happen here. And now we've also got Brave New Worlds is in there, right? Or not Brave New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds is in here. Which is very exciting. There was a lot of requests for one particular episode. We'll see what happens. But yes, we left, good call, Steve. We left TOS off this year, of course, because we only have a few episodes left, and we're going to ease out to that with the regularly scheduled programming. Okay, first one up. Make sure I only got one little slip of paper, y'all. This one is a Star Trek Voyager episode called The Thaw.
Okay.
It's requested all the time. That's a big one.
Don't know what it is, but I'm excited. Anyone in the chat know what the thaw is?
I'm hoping a thing riff. That sounds correct. Yeah,
that'd be nice. Oh, that could be. All right, let's see. Wave around here. Someone asks, please be the one where Beverly fucks a ghost. I know. I want Sub Rosa too. There's no guarantees here.
Also gets requested all the time.
Those Old Scientists was the episode of Strange New Worlds that was... a lot. Let's see. Oh, someone says the thaw's pretty good. Creepy clowns.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Michael McKean. Oh, I have seen this. Someone said Michael McKean is the clown man. I do remember this. It is strange. And also, you'll be stunned to hear, a little obnoxious. yes, I have seen that Voyager episode. Okay, thank you for the reminder, whoever that was. Okay, here we go. The other one. Oh, excellent. Strange New Worlds, Those Old Scientists.
Oh, there you go.
Where the two Lower Decks cartoon characters play themselves in the real world. So you got Jack Quaid floating around in it and Tawny Newsom as a Mariner. No, it's a fun episode. It's really cool. Kind of a good one for you guys to watch since you don't really watch Strange New Worlds. It's a fun one. Okay, Chris Cabin. All right, we go.
Got it. Okay, got my Trunon hat here, and we're going to get my thing here. All right, here we go.
Do-do-do-do-do.
All right, folks, we are going to be doing... Oh, finally! Jesus! We've been... And this got requested fucking 100 times.
Uh-oh.
The Fugitive.
Oh yes.
Cool. Yeah. Nice. Love that one.
Long overdue. Finally. Hell yeah. Big one. All the quotes will finally make sense.
Yes. We go that old Albanian lady's house gets raided. It's fantastic.
I thought she was Polish.
What are you bringing, Polish? Yeah, what are you bringing my baby? What are you bringing? What are you doing with my baby?
What was that? Your baby's a drug dealer, lady.
Yeah. Dude, Eric, you saying that with that shirt, that mustache, and that hat on is quite perfect. You're about to go out and make America great again, dude.
We're storming the Capitol, Austin, Texas, May 15th.
That's right. We are May 15th. We will be there. Anyway, so this is great. I'm super excited for this, but that is going to wrap up this week's On Screen, of course. Again, just real quick, thank you to everyone who requested stuff. This is going to be one hell of a march, I have to say, fellas. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
But that's going to do it. We hope you have a great week. As always, and next Monday, we'll see you back here at noon Eastern on Screen Live. Until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Bye-bye, y'all.